Have you guys ever been promised something and it ended up being way better than you thought it was going to be? I remember I had some friends and they were raving about this fast food restaurant called Chick-fil-A. And they promised me it was going to be like so good. Like, this is going to be the best chicken sandwich you've ever had, ever. I was kind of skeptical because they also told me In-N-Out was going to be really good. And I was slightly disappointed. Side note, can we just talk about how In-N-Out doesn't salt their fries? Like, who does that? That is the best part. Anyways, after some convincing, I went to Chick-fil-A. And you guys, the deluxe spicy chicken sandwich with extra pickles, it is a really good sandwich. And it was much better than I expected it to be. And so I kind of wonder if the disciples felt similar when Jesus said that the Holy Spirit was going to come and he was going to be better than himself. They already had Jesus. They already knew he was the best. But Jesus was saying, oh, I got something better. This Holy Spirit dude, he's going to blow your minds. He's going to be the best chicken sandwich you've ever had. Today we get to talk about Pentecost, the day where people were filled with Holy Spirit. And as I was reading Acts 2, I kept asking myself, what is Paul trying to communicate to us about Holy Spirit? There are a few points that I want to touch on today, but before we jump in, I don't know if you've already picked up on it, but when I talk about Holy Spirit, I don't say the Holy Spirit. I just say Holy Spirit. I say it this way because Holy Spirit is a person. We don't call Jesus the Jesus. We just say Jesus. I've adapted this way of talking about Holy Spirit because it reminds me of his personhood and that he is an active and present person in my life. If you don't like it, you don't have to adapt it. I just wanted to make sense of why I say just Holy Spirit. And this has been something that has helped me along the way as I've grown in my relationship with the Lord. The first point I would like to share is that Acts 2 is a record of a promise being fulfilled. Acts 2 stands as a testament of the faithfulness of God in fulfilling his promises. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus repeatedly assures his disciples of the coming Holy Spirit. In John 14, 16 through 17, Jesus promises the disciples that the Father will send them another helper, the Spirit of truth, who will be with them forever. In Acts 2, we witness the fulfillment of that promise that Jesus sent Holy Spirit, a promise deeply rooted in the prophetic tradition of the Old Testament. Throughout scriptures, we see glimpses of God's plan to pour out his Spirit among all flesh, empowering his people for divine purposes. For instance, we can look at the prophecy in Joel, which Peter quotes in Acts 2, 17 through 18. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. The event of Pentecost described in Acts 2 marks the fulfillment of this promise. As the disciples gathered in prayer, the Holy Spirit descends on them in this dramatic display of power and presence. The sound of a rushing wind, the appearance of tongues of fire signify the Spirit's arrival, fulfilling the words of Jesus and signaling a new redemption where the Spirit's presence would be poured out on all believers, regardless of their age, their gender, or their social status. I want us to consider the implications of this today. Just as the disciples eagerly awaited the fulfillment of Jesus' promise in the upper room, we too are called to wait expectantly for the ongoing work of Holy Spirit in our lives. The same Spirit who empowered the early church at Pentecost is available to us today, equipping us with gifts and graces necessary to fulfill God's purposes in the world. This leads me to my next point that I want to touch on. Acts 2 shares how Holy Spirit came to empower. After the disciples were filled with Holy Spirit, we see a new empowerment within them. Prior to Pentecost, the disciples were characterized as like fearful and uncertain, and they lacked understanding regarding their mission. However, with the coming of Holy Spirit, everything changes. These timid disciples were transformed into bold witnesses, proclaiming the gospel message for all who would listen. Consider the transformation of Peter. this impulsive disciple who then, you know, denied Jesus out of fear, he, in this passage, became different. He was empowered. He delivers a powerful sermon that pierces the heart of his listeners. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter speaks with authority and conviction, declaring the truth of Jesus' resurrection and calling the crowd to repentance and faith. This transformation was not because of Peter's own strength or his own ability, but it was a direct result of Holy Spirit's work within him. The empowerment for ministry experienced by the disciples at Pentecost was not limited to them alone, but available to all believers, even us. In Acts 1:8, Jesus declares, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This promise of empowerment extends to us today, enabling us to be effective witnesses for Christ in our own spheres of influence. As the recipients of Holy Spirit, we are called to step out in our faith, trusting his power to equip and enable us for the task that he has set before us. Whether it be preaching or teaching or serving or maybe simply just witnessing Christ's love to the people around us in our daily lives, Holy Spirit empowers us to fulfill our God-given calling and mission. Now, some may be wondering, what does empowerment even look like in our lives? Well, first, I believe that the primary way we see Holy Spirit empowerment is through spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:1 through 11 says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul describes the variety of gifts, prophecy, healing, tongues, faith, given by the Spirit for the common good of the body of Christ. And as Christ followers, we are instructed to discover, to develop, and to use our spiritual gifts to edify the church and help with the advancement of God's kingdom. Ultimately, the purpose of spiritual gifts is to glorify God and advance his kingdom here on earth. When we use our gifts faithfully and obediently, we bear witness to the transformative power of the gospel and reflect the character of Christ to the world. By stewarding our spiritual gifts well, we honor and glorify God, who is the source of every good and perfect gift. Secondly, empowerment in our lives could look like boldness and witness. Just as the disciples were filled with boldness and courage to proclaim the gospel in the face of opposition, we too are called to boldly declare the truth of Christ in the world that needs salvation. This boldness stems from a deep-rooted assurance of the gospel's power to save and transform lives, along with the indwelling presence of the Spirit. Throughout the New Testament, we see examples of bold witnesses who fearlessly proclaim the message of salvation in the face of persecution, adversity, and even death. Consider again the Apostle Peter, who, after receiving the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, boldly proclaimed the resurrection of Jesus to the crowds in Jerusalem, despite the risk of imprisonment or even worse. But we also see an example through Stephen. Stephen was one of the first deacons of the early church, and he provides a powerful example of boldness and witness. In Acts 6 and 7, we see Stephen, full of grace and power, performing great wonders and signs among the people. Despite some really fierce opposition from the religious authorities, Stephen boldly proclaimed truth of the gospel. His speech before the Sanhedrin in Acts 7 is a recounting of Israel's history and a direct accusation of their resistance against Holy Spirit. Stephen's unwavering testimony, even when he faced stoning, showcases the Spirit's empowerment for bold witness. For Christians today, aka us, boldness in witness means stepping out in faith and trusting in the power of Holy Spirit to strengthen and to empower us to share the gospel boldly, both in word and in action. It requires a willingness to step out of your comfort zone, to overcome your fears and your insecurities, and rely on Holy Spirit to provide the words and wisdom needed to effectively communicate the message of salvation. Can you think back to a time where you sensed the Lord asking you to step out in boldness about your faith? You see, this boldness is not arrogant or self-righteous, but it's rooted in humility and a dependence on God, recognizing that apart from Him, we can do nothing. As we yield to the leading of Holy Spirit and step out in faith, we can be confident that He will equip us and He'll enable us to be bold witnesses for Christ, shining His light in the darkness and leading others to a saving relationship with Him. Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome our fear, enabling us to share faith with confidence and conviction. I remember for me, there was a time where the Lord just started pressing on my heart to get out of my comfort zone. And so I was driving to Walgreens for a late night snack. I had to go get those Sour Patch Kids. And while I drive in, it's winter, it's dark, it's raining, and I see this lady in a wheelchair, and the Lord's like, go be Jesus to her. And I'm like, I don't know, I really want to get my gummies and go back to watching Grey's Anatomy. And so I go into Walgreens, I ignore that, and I get back in my car, and I'm driving, I'm already in my car heading home, and Diane, I learned, and I lock eyes, and God again says, go be Jesus to her. And so I park my car, and I go up to her, and again, I just feel this conviction of like, you need to like, through your actions, communicate the gospel. And so I met with her. I even told her, hey, I think God's wanted me to come and talk to you. And while I'm walking over there, I even sense the Lord saying, I want you to hug her. I'm like kind of a clean freak. And like, not trying to sound mean, but like she's very dirty. And like, I could smell her from my car. And God, that's really uncomfortable. And like, I don't know about that. Like, I don't like that. And so I get up there and He's just putting on my heart. And so I ask her, hey, can I hug you? And she's like, yes. And she just starts crying. And she's like, this is like the first time in so long that I had any sort of like consensual touch. And like, I felt really loved. And the rest of that time, I probably spent 30 minutes with her out in the rain and got to kind of hear her story. And later I went and got her like hot chocolate. The Lord reminded me I had a blanket in my car that I never use, but I always have it in there, and I gave it to her. And it was just one of those moments where I prayed for her and you just knew like, yeah, God, I was supposed to meet with her. And that was just a way that He empowered me, even though I was uncomfortable. I didn't always like it, but I obeyed, and He gave me the strength and the words to say that she needed to hear. And so, which leads me to my next thought. I sometimes believe that Holy Spirit empowerment can look like service. The empowerment of service reflects the nature of Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. This empowerment equips us to minister to others in different ways and impactful ways, extending the love and grace of God to those in need. Service can range from meeting a physical need, so I got her some hot chocolate, I gave her a blanket, but also it can mean providing spiritual care. Just as Jesus healed the sick, fed the hungry, and preached the good news, we're also called to minister to the whole person, taking care of both tangible and intangible needs. With this, spiritual gifts such as mercy and helps and administration play a role in service. Those with the gift of mercy show compassion to those in distress, while those with the gift of helps provide practical assistance, and those with the gift of administration can organize and manage service projects efficiently. Each gift contributes to the body of Christ's ability to serve effectively and holistically. Again, whether it's feeding the hungry, clothing the poor, caring for the sick, or advocating for justice and compassion, Holy Spirit equips us to be agents of transformation in our communities and beyond. As Christ followers, we are called to be the salt and light in the world, shining the love of Christ into the darkest corners of society. Lastly, I think there's something else I want to address, and it's a phrase that I've heard, and I think sometimes we've taken on. It's the maybe them, not me. This phrase reflects a common misconception that some of us have taken on regarding the empowerment for ministry by Holy Spirit. It's easy to believe that extraordinary acts of God through the Spirit are reserved for the select few, like the apostles and the prophets, or particularly gifted leaders or pastors like Michael. But then there's ordinary believers like us that might feel inadequate or unworthy of this kind of empowerment. This mindset can lead us to feeling inadequate or passive because we see ourselves more as spectators instead of active participants in God's mission. However, Acts 2 fundamentally challenges the idea by demonstrating that Holy Spirit's empowerment is available for all believers, not just the privileged few. I know we read it earlier, but I want us to read Acts 2, 17 through 18 again. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Guys, this message is revolutionary in its inclusivity. It emphasizes that Holy Spirit is given to all believers, regardless of their age, their gender, again, their social status, or whether or not they know the Bible well. He'll empower anybody. Which, again, in biblical times is a pretty insane concept. The empowerment of Holy Spirit shatters societal and cultural stereotypes. In a context where women and the young and the servants might have been undervalued, Holy Spirit's inclusive empowerment emphasizes God's value, that God values everybody and uses everyone. Consider the story of Ananias in Acts 9. Ananias was not a prominent apostle. Also, later on, we find out he kind of gets smited by God. But he was an ordinary disciple living in Damascus. And yet, when the Lord called him to lay hands on Saul, who later became Paul, to restore his eyesight, Ananias obeyed despite his initial hesitation and fear. Through Ananias, Holy Spirit worked a miracle, leading to Saul's transformation into one of the greatest apostles. The story highlights how God uses any believer, regardless of their perceived effectiveness or status or importance, to accomplish his purposes. We were just asked to obey his promptings. I don't know about you, but this passage really does encourage me, especially as a woman in ministry. There will be people who push back on where I belong within the church, but this passage reminds me that no matter what, I am empowered by Holy Spirit, and God will use me in a unique way to bring others to himself. I really believe that this message is especially relevant today, as it encourages our churches and people within our church to recognize and affirm the contributions of all members, which will foster an environment where diversity is celebrated and everyone's gifts are utilized. This makes me think of, at SAM Alliance, I help with our special needs program, and we have so many people within our special needs community who want to help. And how often do we say, no, you can't, because you're not like us, but they have other giftings and other passions. And so I work within a couple ministries, and so I have this one guy, he loves changing batteries. And I'm like, hey, we have children's ministry and there's so many toys with batteries. Like, can you check those once a month? And he comes in and he's so excited and he gets to contribute. How often do we just disregard people because their giftings or their passions are not the same as our own? Every believer is called to actively participate in the mission of the church. Again, like I said, Holy Spirit equips each of us with unique gifts and talents. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, the body is made up of many parts, each with its own function. No part is insignificant. Every member is essential for the health and effectiveness of the whole. Therefore, we should embrace our role, however small they might seem, trusting that Holy Spirit will empower us for meaningful service. This active participation creates a sense of purpose and belonging and encourages us to engage fully in our communities. The message or idea that maybe them, not me, is dismantled by the powerful truth that Holy Spirit empowers all believers for ministry. Acts 2 reveals that God's Spirit is poured out on all people, inviting every Christian to participate in the work of the kingdom. By embracing this truth, you guys, we can confidently step into our God-given roles, knowing that Holy Spirit equips and empowers us to make a significant impact in our churches and in our spheres. So as the worship team comes up, I just want us to ponder how God may be empowering us to minister to those in our spheres. I'm gonna just pray over us. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for Pentecost, for Acts 2. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross so that we would be able to receive Holy Spirit. I just pray, Lord, that you give us insight to where you want us to move and be empowered to act. Would we encounter your Holy Spirit? Would we be bold by your Holy Spirit? So Lord, we just surrender this to you. We surrender our lives to you, and we ask that you use us how you want to, and would you empower us and give us the tools necessary to do your purposes?